Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back to Brewery Highlights with Hophead Said. And today I am at Sundowner Brewery, and I've got the card here so I can give you the address. Sundowner Brewery, 30961 West Agora Road in Westlake Village, California. If you want to know more about Sundowner Brewery, you can go to MalibuSundowner.com, I believe. Yes, there we go, MalibuSundowner.com. That's the part I did not have written down. And I am here with Todd and with Adam, brewers here for Sundowner. And, well, I don't even know who to start off with. Who should I start off with? I should have picked this before we went on.
It's going to be about the same story either way.
All right, so, Well, let's start, Adam, let's start with you. And go ahead and introduce yourself and tell it, you know, did you come from a homebrewing background that, you know, and then we'll just kind of lead on through.
Sure. My name is Adam Trabish. I'm a brewer here at Sundowner Brewery. Todd here is the other brewer. We've been friends for probably 15 years, a long time now. And we both kind of started to get into homebrewing at the same time. Just ale pail stuff, partial mash on top of the kitchen stove. I'd say 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
That's about right. Somewhere like that. Once you start adding beer in there, the timeline gets kind of hazy. But just kind of got a bug for it, a real passion for it, doing it at home. It's a fun hobby that's very conducive to the scientific side of my brain and to the artistic side as well. I came from a music background, so I'm always looking for that artistic expression. Plus, at the end, you get beer and you get to drink it instead of just listening to something. So we did that for a long time. We started a homebrew club out here in Thousand Oaks called the Thousand Oaked Homebrewers. And then Todd had been working here in the tasting room at Wade's Wines. And the opportunity for us to start brewing beer here arose, and we definitely jumped at it, and we've been doing that for the past year or so.
Yeah.
And so that kind of leads into the natural. Sundowner's been open. You've got your anniversary coming up in September, so this has really been, I guess, since I ran into you at the Moore Park Beer Festival, this is really kind of, I didn't realize that it was that young. I mean, I'd figured you'd been doing this for some time. So then, Todd, how about, is there anything in there that's different for you?
Yes, well, my name's Todd Slater, and also a brewer here at Sundowner Brewery. For me, same a lot like what Adam said. We both got into homebrewing at the same time, and then I went off and I went to college in San Diego, and I really fell in love with craft beer down in San Diego. I mean, there's so many good breweries, so much good beer down there. Then I came back here and started working at Wade's in the bottle shop, and then as I was working here, we opened the tasting room, and then once the tasting room was open, we decided to step into a brewery, start a small little brewery. As soon as that happened, I got Adam on the phone. I said, "Need your help." So we got going there, and then pretty much the same from there.
So we're talking, you've been working in at Wade's Wines. So how do you approach your employer and say, you know what, let's open up a brewery? How do you go?
Well, it almost was the opposite way. He almost came to me. Like I said, I was working here, and there's a lot of homebrewers that come in, and you interact with a lot of homebrewers on that level. So I would be constantly bringing my homebrew in, sharing it with people at work. They'd be doing the same, dropping off bottles, leaving us bottles for us to taste at work, and it kind of spawned from that. And then I think Wade saw that there might be a little more there, a little something there that could maybe go a little further and be an actual business.
Todd used to do little tasting rooms in a tiny little room here at Wade's the first year that he worked here, once a week. And it went from when I started coming to maybe 10 people at a time in there to maximum capacity, probably like 25, 30, 50 people in that little room. Okay. So that's when they decided to open this tasting room. The reason why we're brewing here now is the proof is in the sales. Once the tasting room was open, beer was just flying out of here. Like Todd said, we'd bring in our homebrew. We had the homebrew club. And so we kind of were known for making hopefully decent beer. Hopefully that was a reputation. So Wade said, well, why don't you guys make beer here?
Well, so, I mean, we're sitting in kind of the second sort of room tasting room.
Yeah.
So on the other side, how old is this tasting room part? I mean, everything feels so, it feels so renovated. So that's not necessarily the best descriptor that I can come up with, but, you know, everything feels so well thought out on this side and on the other side, too. I mean, there are these nice kind of alcove sorts of, you know, you sit four or five, six people at a table and you can have your own private conversations and you're never more than, you know, 5 feet from the bar. So, So when did it move from Wade's Wine as in retail to sort of the tap room where this is why I come here is for the beer.
Yeah. So I'll give you a little more history then, I guess, on the retail store and then the tasting room as well. So like Adam said, we used to do beer tastings on the retail side. We had a small little tasting room, no taps or anything, no sinks. We did everything out of little plastic cups, poured out of bottles. We did the same with wines. The beer tastings were every other week. The wine tasting we did every week, but the same kind of thing, a little half-ounce pour for in a little plastic cup. A lot of people would bring their own glassware. And so those, like Adam was saying, the sales went... They were doing well, and the sales got better. So then Wade wanted to open up a full tasting room. He opened up the front side of the room. He opened it up in July. So this coming July will be 2 years. And then after, from July till about January, it was just max capacity. So we decided to open up this back room, and this back room opened up. This room has just been open for a year now in May. So that's how long these rooms have been here.
Well, the few times that I've been in here, too, it's been... I never make it back this far just because we end up sitting. We find lucky enough to find one out there, so I don't have to come to the back room. But, you know, this is actually the first time that I've sat back here, and this is I'm going to keep pushing everyone back from now on. Do you run both sides the whole time? Is there somebody that can go, or is it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Both sides are usually open. We try to keep – the main reason we opened this back room up was to accommodate larger parties. So we try to keep this room, you know, kind of keep it for – larger parties so we can see, you know, if you got 6, 8, 10 people, we can seat you back here without a problem. And then also this room can be available for, you can rent it out for a private event, and we can still be open on the other side, which was another thing people wanted to do. They wanted to rent the room out, but it's kind of hard to rent the room out on a Friday night when you need to be open.
Right. And looking at, do you have 40, 50 taps right here? And altogether, what do you run?
We have 103 beers.
103 all the way front and back. So we've got some different ones on this side than we do on
correct.
That side.
Correct, all different, yep.
That's fantastic.
Every tap's different, and then every time any beer blows, we always put something different on. We don't really have any standard handles. We're always rotating everything out.
Very nice. So how many of these are Sundowner beers?
At the moment, I think we have maybe 6 or 7 of our own on at the moment, and that fluctuates as well.
So, leading into Sundowner, let's talk about the what you were brewing on, how you've just kind of mentioned that you've expanded a little bit, and so kind of tell us what that means in terms of how much beer you were creating, what you are now, and we'll just kind of go from there.
Well, we had 25 gallon kettles. So we were making we'd get out about 20, between 18 and 20 gallons of clean beer per batch. And we just recently upgraded to 55-gallon kettles, which is about, give or take, a barrel and a half. So now we'll be probably getting anywhere from 45 to 50 gallons of clean beer per batch, hopefully.
So we're still talking on the nano brewery size scale.
Yeah, this real small.
Okay, so we're
about... Here, the top end of about a homebrew system, what you could do at a homebrew level.
Okay. If you could drink all that on a homebrew
if you could
scale.
It's probably illegal, actually, if I can't make that much. But, yeah, we started off very small just to see if there was that desire for it, that market here. Pretty quickly, we saw that there was. We haven't done anything bigger than a pint pour for our beers here at Sundowner. We're thinking about starting to do growler fills now. Mm. Because we can increase our volume.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we're going to be moving a lot more product.
Okay.
And hopefully expand even
yeah. And even hopefully sooner. with the new kettles, it'll open us up to have a little more beer to spread out so we can start doing events at local bars. Like Adam said, we haven't poured anything over a pint, and we haven't poured any of our beer anywhere else except for the few fests that we've done. Everything else has come out of here.
Okay.
So it'll be nice to get get some growlers going, and then have some extra kegs to go do some local events.
If you're looking for anyone who's listening now, go to hopheadsaid.com and click under the blog, and then look for on the right-hand column there all of the tags, and look for Sundowner, because after this podcast is over, I'm going to go through, take some pictures of the setup and everything else, so that you can go ahead and take a look at their setup. So when it comes to brewing and with this partnership, is one of you more the envelope pusher and one of you is more, or how do you two come together and decide on what beers you're going to be brewing?
If anyone has an idea, like we said, Todd and I's stories are pretty similar. The beer we like is pretty similar. So usually we'll think of the same thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone has an idea of what they want to brew, then that's what we're brewing.
Just whatever comes up. And then just on the size or the scale that you're on, too, then that kind of gives you that the ability to
and the
to
flexibility.
Do that.
And we don't have any house beers or anything that we're repeating right now, which is nice with the size system that we have. We have the freedom every batch to make a new beer and try something new, really see what people, which is great. Pouring exclusively at a tasting room is immediately you can see what people are drinking, what the trends are, what people want to drink, and you can accommodate that with a really quick turnaround time.
And no pressure to feel like you need to rebrew something.
Exactly, yeah. Everything's new, and it's nice because someone will say, wow, that last beer was really good. I'll have another one. And say, oh, I'd love to give you that, but it's all gone. But try this. It's just as good. Maybe help someone expand their beer knowledge and try something that they normally wouldn't.
So I guess when it comes to putting these recipes together on any given brew day, how do you two work together to put this beer from recipe? You two are both kind of thinking along the same lines. Now it's time to actually get this into the kettle and kind of walk me through what a brew day is and what both of you do during the brew day.
It kind of depends from day to day. I mean, batch to batch. Sometimes if one of us is a little more adamant towards a recipe or a little more involved in wanting to do something or do something a different way than we have been in the past, it's almost kind of like that person will almost be in charge that day. The other person will kind of help and hang out, and then the next day it could be the other way around.
So there isn't necessarily a head brewer or assistant brewer. It's more of a co-brewer kind of setup.
And we both have different schedules too. So a lot of times Todd will just brew by himself. I'll brew by myself. If we're lucky enough, we can brew together. Someone will leave in the middle. Someone will come back, or we're both there all day. It's because of the size of the system that we're on, we also have that ability of kind of manning the ship solo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot better when both of us are there, I think, because we can bounce some ideas off each other. And we've changed recipes in the middle of the brew day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't hit our gravity, we're making a different beer or something. But yeah, so that's what's so nice about having a system like this is we're still making enough beer, but we have all that flexibility in there as far as design and execution.
So you're hinting that this isn't necessarily your full-time gig, or is this?
No,
you've got quote unquote day jobs on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Todd, tell me what do you do here?
My day job is here at Wade's. I work in the tasting room here also, and I work in the retail side store. I'm in charge. I've worked here for almost 3 years now. I run the beer department, the whole bottle shop, and the retail side, and then I run all the beers here in the tasting room. I do all the ordering, I'm the beer buyer, I do all that. I do all the set up all the beer events in the tasting room, everything on that side. But yeah, so Wade's is my full-time job here.
Keeping you busy,
mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And then I try to squeeze in time for the brewery and make time to do that as frequently as I can.
How about you, Adam?
I'm actually just going to law school.
Oh, just.
Yeah.
I'm just doing a little thing called law school.
Well, and it's funny because we have, whenever we had free time, on a Sunday or whenever our schedules lined up, we would brew at my house. That's been replaced by this brewing now, so we don't really homebrew at all anymore. But all our time is devoted to beer, whether that's working or even on our days off, we're here, or my day off. I guess it's not Todd's day off. I'm here brewing.
So we mentioned just a little bit about beer festivals, and I met Adam at the Moorpark Beer Festival. It'll be coming up on a year here in October. Do you have a set schedule yet for festivals that you'll be at, so that if people aren't here coming to Wade's Wines, that they'll be able to taste the beers outside the tasting room, I guess?
Yeah, the big one that we come up that we got that we committed to is the Kiwanis Fest. That's in August. What is that? August 29th. Yeah, we did. That was the very first fest that the brewery did last year, and so we're gonna do it again this year.
Okay.
And then also coming up, we're gonna do the Moorpark Beer Fest again. I'm not positive on the date, but as long as they'll have us back, we'll be there again.
Sounds good. And it looks like it's the Kiwanis Bock Fest, or
no, beer fest.
Okay, just play it on beer.
Bad penmanship.
Okay. As soon as I said, I'm like, oh no, that's probably just says beer. So just a couple outside. So if you want to taste any of these beers, you need to come on down. What have you had? Have you had a favorite yet that if you were going to brew again, that you would end up doing?
It's probably different for both of us. I mean, I personally liked. We did a brown IPA. It was probably maybe our fifth or sixth batch. It's called a Rosewood. That one came out really nice. I really liked that one.
How long ago was that on tap?
That was probably on tap.
I'm trying.
Four months ago, maybe. Okay. 3 months ago.
I don't think that was one I had. I had a double IPA not too long ago, probably a month or so ago. That was nice, yeah, and tasty. I did my double IPA flight, so yeah. that was a nice one. Adam, do you have one?
Yeah, there's one. A double IPA as well. We went on probably about a month of just brewing only IPAs, which was good. We had a lot of good beers out of that. Some with some Belgian yeast that I thought was pretty good, really interesting, and that's a style that I like now, kind of a Belgian IPA, something really fruity and also really sharp and clean.
Mm-hmm. How about something that you're looking forward to coming up, you know, in the brewing, on the brewing side, something, a recipe that you've got kicking around that you've wanted to try and do, something that when people listen to this, that it gives them a week or two notice to make sure that they get in.
It's going to be in the future, but I think we're going to try and put some stuff in some wine barrels, age it out in there. We're lucky enough to have access to a couple barrels. I'm not sure the type of wine that was in them or the grapes.
I'm not sure either, but Wade wants to tie a project into some of his private wine labels, get a barrel from one of those, then put one of our beers in it, kind of make it full circle.
Sure.
But we're also almost sealed down a whiskey barrel, trying to get one of those soon, and then we brewed a stout about a week and a half ago, that if this barrel comes through, then we'll dump it in that, so that'll give people more than a couple weeks of anticipation. It'll give them a year or so. But we're going to probably brew something tomorrow. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we just had a pale ale. It came out on Thursday. And then just about ready to crash cool and keg is a Belgian Golden Strong. So those are a couple coming down the pipelines that people can look forward to.
Oh, nice. Going to your brew schedule then, it seemed like it was more of a when you need to brew kind of thing, or do you end up, or do you have a set schedule now where every Thursday you're in, or every other Thursday?
Usually it's every Wednesday. We can brew once a week now and have that beer be gone by the next week.
And all opened up and ready to put a new one in. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, then you've got, you're building up this, your customer base and then, moving the beer out. Have I missed anything? I think we've gone down, other than the tasting room, which was anniversary, which is in July.
Yeah.
So any kind of special events that are happening? Beers pouring, spirits?
Yeah, well, no spirits, but last year for the tasting room anniversary, we did a big kind of weekend blowout double IPA, IPA, quote-unquote, fest. I think we had like 35 different IPAs on, and we're pouring everything off of that. This year, I'm not positive what we're going to do. Probably try and make a beer maybe for that anniversary, or see. We have a couple beers sitting around from our first batches that are hanging around, and maybe pull some of those back out for that tasting. Maybe we have a small little sour project going here at the brewery that we may if it's ready, maybe pull out for that.
And the sours, are they in a barrel, a stainless with... How are you keeping that?
It's in glass
in
right now.
In a special...
isolated. In timeout zone. Away from
do
the
do not other open this bottle. One of those kind of things.
Like, yeah. I mean, because of the scale that we're at, cross-infection is not that big, and we can clean everything pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't obviously put any of the sour stuff on our equipment, but...
Will that be a bottle release, or will you pour it out of taps?
No, that one would be that'd be on tap.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then brewery anniversary coming up in September. We talked about a couple of beers that'll be coming up in the next month or so. Did you brew something back in January that you're aging all the way through, or did you brew something last year even that you've been holding on to? Have you been able to do something like that? Or even have you been able to even focus on there's a anniversary coming up.
Well, for that brewery anniversary, we have a small library of beers, kegs that we've held on from our beers that we've released. The heavier beers that'll age out, mm-hmm. we've hung on to. I pulled some of them off with a half a keg left. Some of them has got to have a full keg. So we may do kind of like a year review in beers of what we have, and then we'll probably definitely make some sort of anniversary beer.
So once it gets closer, I'm guessing that you'll kind of give us a heads up on the date, the time, and the kind of things. What's the best way for anyone to kind of keep track of what's pouring and what you're doing?
Come into the
tasting room?
On a regular basis.
There it is. You got a chalkboard up here or something.
Yeah. That we deal in chalk. Yeah.
Other than that, we have the tasting room and the brewery have kind of a shared website.
Mm-hmm.
It's MalibuSundowner.com, and it's also SundownerBrewery.com. Either one will take you to the same place.
Okay.
And then through that, it updates all of our events that are coming up. You can see kind of like our upcoming catalog of stuff that's going on the wine and the beer side.
Okay.
And then also other stuff that we're not pouring, for the tasting room stuff, we have a full, it's Beer Menus, is a free online beer hosting menu site, I guess you could call it.
Okay.
And we have all our beers up on there that you can see, and that gets updated, I think, once a week.
Okay. I was looking, and I saw a Twitter. Is that something that's used a lot, or Facebook? Do you have any?
Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. The guy who used to do all that social media side for us is just recently in the last week. Well, he's no longer doing it for us, so I'm not sure who's going to pick that up. I do the Instagram pretty consistently.
Okay.
Just because I'm a big Instagrammer outside of the brewery as well. The Twitter and the Facebook is kind of a little less updated.
So looking at, when I was looking at the website, the Sundowner, MalibuSundowner.com, there was, when you go there, it says brewery or winery, and then you go to the brewery side. There was a blog tab. Click the blog tab, go down, and you can kind of scroll through, see what they're working on, and catch some updates there as well. What about, I think we've hit our points here. We've talked about the brewery size. We've talked about what's coming up, where you're going to be, how to get the beers, how to taste them. I think we've
very informative.
Pretty well hit everything. Unless there's something that you can think of right at the top that I missed. Nothing?
No.
Well, if we do come up with anything, I'll be sure to put it up on the blog. And I would like to say thank you to Todd and to Adam for coming in early and meeting with me and recording this podcast with me. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. So now I'm going to go take some pictures so that I can get these up on the website. So make sure you go to hopheadsaid.com if you're listening to this on podcast, and look under the blog and the tag Sundowner Brewery, and you'll find all kinds of good information. Thank you for listening to Hophead Said's Brewery Highlight. I almost forgot the name of my show here. And as I'm concentrating on something else, multitasking is not my forte.
We haven't even had any beer yet.
I know. It's
early still.
Well, that's par for course for me. Anyway, so thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Cheers.